Boker Tov, welcome back to another in our ongoing series of Shurim Daf Yomi. We are in the middle of the sugya on Ktubot Daf Pehe Amud Bet, and we finished the cases. I adjusted the pages so that the list of cases reflects accurately where we stopped. And now we pick up in the middle with a story about Ahuda Amar Lehu Nechasai Letuvia. A fellow who said, before he died, he said, everything that I own goes to Tuvia. Shachiv, he died. Ata Tuvia, a fellow named Tuvia showed up. Amar V'yochanan, hurry, ba Tuvia. So V'yochanan said, give it to him, he's Tuvia. Now, Amar Tuvia v'ata Rav Tuvia, if the fellow had said, give it to Tuvia, and a rabbi Tuvia showed up, the Tuvia, Amar the Rav Tuvia, Lomar, you wouldn't give it to him, because he said, give it to Tuvia. He didn't say, give it to Rabbi Tuvia. V'inish to Gispe, but if it's somebody who the fellow who died was very friendly with and familiar with and may refer to him just as Tuvia, even though he's a Rav, Hagispe, then indeed he's familiar with him and he could give it to him. Now, Atu Shnei Tuvia, let's say two guys named Tuvia showed up, both claiming to be the fellow. Shachein v'tamin chacham, if one was a neighbor and the other one, who was not a neighbor, was a tamin chacham kodem, then we assume that the fellow, this has nothing to do with our favoritism, we assume that the fellow wanted to give it to the Tamin Chacham. It was a common thing that we've seen throughout Shas, within the culture, to be interested in enriching or helping out a Tamin Chacham, and so therefore it not at all be, it would not at all be strange. For instance, Rashi points out here that a person who's about to die, he wants to help out Tamin Chacham, he wants to end up good and good graces, etc. So probably that's what he meant. Now, Karova Tamin Chacham, let's say one of them was a relative and the other one was a Tamin Chacham. Again, the two Tuvias, Tamin Chacham Kodem. Again, the same thing. Now, Ibayalu, what about the two losers in the previous two pieces? Shachein v'Karov, one of them was a neighbor and the other one was a relative but who didn't live nearby. Mai, so what's the preference? The assumption is, based on the pasuk in Mishlei, Tov Shachen Karov Miach Rakok, a close neighbor is better than a distant cousin. Distant meaning somebody, a cousin or a relative who doesn't come by a lot. In other words, we assume his preference is for his neighbor who he's close with rather than somebody who's a blood relative but he doesn't see that often. Now, Shnehem Krovim or Shnehem Shchinim or Shnehem Chachamim, meaning if any of these determinants are equal in both of the fellows, then Shuda Dedayani, it's the arbitrary decision, it's not arbitrary, it's the determination of the Beit Din based on knowing the fellow who passed away and who he preferred and who he favored, etc. That's how it goes. Now, Amar Rav Livrei de Rav Chiya Bar Avin. So he told Rav Chiya Bar Avin's son. He said, "Ta emalach milta malyuta d'havei amar avuch." I want to tell you a very nice thing that your father said. Hada Amar Shmuel. He was commenting on a statement of Shmuel. Shmuel said the following halacha: Hamochesh tarchov l'chaveru b'chazor machlo machul. If a person has a note and he sells the note to another guy, and then he forgives the debt. The debt is forgiven, and the guy who bought the shtar is out of luck. Vafili yoresh mochel, not only the fellow who owned the note, but even the heir. So in other words, a fellow lent money, he died, his heir, and he sold the note, and then he died, and the heir forgives the debt, and then in that case, the debt is forgiven, and the guy holding the shtar is worth nothing. We'll see later whether he has any claim back to the fellow who forgave it. Now, nonetheless, Modeh Shmuel Machneset Shtar Chov the Baal of a Chazru Machalto She'eno Machul. But Shmuel agrees, nonetheless, that if a woman holds on a Shtar Chov on behalf of her husband, and then she forgives the debt, then it is not forgiven. Because his control over it is as strong as her control, and she is not an owner enough to forgive the debt. Now, here we're going to hear a story, which is why we brought in that halacha. Crave Teder of Nachman. Rav Nachman had a female relative. Zvinta l'chtuvata b'tovatana'a. She sold her ktuvah to somebody for a pittance, for tovatana'a, just as a kind act. She was pretty sure that she was never going to collect this ktuvah. She thought that she would predecease her husband, who wasn't going to divorce her. So she sold it for a small amount. Igrisha, it turned out he divorced her, which means it was worth quite a bit, but Ushchiva, she died. Now, what could she have done when he divorced her? She could have forgiven the ketubah, in which case the guy who bought it would have nothing, but then she would have nothing either. But she died. Atu katavu la levarta. So then the fellow who had bought the ketubah came to claim from her daughter, who was the only heir, they wanted that money. Amar Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman said, Leika de Lisba la Eitza, isn't there anybody, Rav Nachman remember is a relative, isn't there anybody who knows how to give this daughter a good piece of advice to help her out? Teza v'ticha l'chtubata. The girl should be mochal v'di k'tuba. The imal gabe avua. The she should be mochal, so it goes back to the father. V'terta minei. And then she will inherit it from him. In other words, the girl, the daughter, who is a yoresh, as Shmuel said, a yoresh can be mochel. The girl can be mochel b'ktuba. Therefore, the note is worth nothing. Therefore, all that money stays with the father. But then father died. The girl is evidently the only child in this marriage. She'll inherit all of it, and that's the way she'll keep it. Shama azda achilta. So the girl heard about it. She went, and she was mochel b'ktuba, and it all worked out well. So Rav Nachman, asinu atzmenu korchei adayanim. We had in the fourth parak a similar sentiment expressed by Rabbi Yochanan, that Rav Nachman said, we made ourselves like lawyers. All right, here we're judges, we're making ourselves like lawyers. Why? Mikar, my sorrow, less off my kusara. So what did Rav Nachman think originally when he gave her the advice, and why did he regret it now? Mikara savar m'sachalo titalem. Originally, he thought, based on the guidance of Yeshayahu in Perek Nunchet, that a person should always help out his own kin. But at the end, he realized that even though he's supposed to help out his own kin, it's inappropriate for an Adam Chashuv to be showing favoritism and giving advice to one side of the party, one party to the dispute, that will help them with a technicality and really hurt the other person. Now, back to the case of Shmuel. Back to Shmuel's ruling. Good, that's Shmuel. But if the guy who bought the shtar is smart, what he'll do is he'll shake money in front of the love, the guy who owes the money, and he will have him write a new shtar. Meaning, if A has lent money to B, so B owes money to A, and A has a shtar. A sells it to C. Now, C will come and collect from B. But in the meantime, if A is mochel the debt, C is out of luck. So if C is smart, C will come to B and say, listen, I'm going to make you a deal. You borrowed $100,000. I'm going to let you pay me back. I have the note. I'll let you pay me back $90,000, but let's rewrite the shtar. That way, he's guaranteed at least $90,000 as opposed to the possibility of getting nothing. Now, Amar Meimar, Man de Doin Dina de Garmi. Dina de Garmi, which is a complex sugya, which this is not the main appearance of the sugya, and it's a dispute among the Tanaim as to whether or not Dina de Garmi is actionable, and that is indirectly caused financial loss. Classic example is if I come into your house and I tear up your shitrei chov, so you can now cannot collect them. What I did is I damaged some parchment, but in reality I prevented you from being able to collect perhaps millions of dollars in debts. That's called Dina de Garmi. So there's machloket whether or not Dina de Garmi is actionable and whether I have to pay the amount of the loss. So now, Man de Doin Dina de Garmi, according to the opinions like Rav Meir, who says Dina de Garmi is actionable. Anybody interested, the Ramban has the famous Kuntras Dina de Garmi that's printed in the Chidushim after Bava Batra. Magbi beit Dmei Shtar Amalia. In that case, the guy who forgives the debt can be sued for the full amount by the guy who bought it. Man de lo doin din de garmi, but according to the opinion of those who are not done din de garmi, magbi beit Dmei Shtar Amalia. All he can do is come back and ask him to replenish the paper that he lost. In other words, basically nothing. Now, Havei Uvda, now we have a story that seems to support Dina de Garmi. V'chafi Rafram the Ravashi. Rafram forced the famous Ravashi, V'agbi be'kichshur l'tzalmi, and he made him pay. Evidently, Ravashi had forgiven a debt, and he made him pay to the fellow who had bought the note, and he made him pay with exactitude, just like you measure a piece of wood for building, the exact length and the lack of warp and everything else. That's the metaphor here. Amar Meimar Mishme, the simile. Amar Meimar Mishme de Rav Chama. Then we get back to really what our Mishnah was talking about, which is the multiple claimants on your property. So if you have a woman's coming to collect her ktubah and a Baal Chov to collect his debt, and you have some land and you have some cash, you give the cash to the Baal Chov, and the woman you give the land to. Why? Each one according to his own rule, which means is each one according to what he anticipated. When the Baal Chov lent, he lent money. So therefore he expects to get money back. When the woman got married, she got married based on land. And therefore that's what she expects. Now, but if the fellow only has one land, and as the Rishonim point out, this is talking about where both Shtarot were on the same day, and the fellow has enough land only for to pay one of these debts back, the Baal Chov yavin le, the Isha lo yavin le. We give it to the Baal Chov and not to the Isha. Why? My tama. It's something we've seen many times, that the woman's interest in getting married is greater than the man's interest in getting married. What does that have to do with anything here? It means that we're not concerned that a woman is going to say, oh, you know what? I'm not going to get married because if it comes time to collect the ketubah and there's some Baal Chov that I'm going to be left out in the cold, she'll still want to get married because a woman wants to get married more than a man wants to get married. Tav lemetav tandu, milemetav armalu. The next case that we have, the next ruling we have, is as follows. Amar le Papa Rav Chama. It's a very interesting thing. Vaday demrita mishmei derava. He came to Rav Chama and he said, I know that you quoted Rava as saying, and what he's basically saying is, I heard you quote Rava as saying something, it just sounds so bizarre, I gotta check with you. Haiman demaski be zuziv it layara. If somebody is coming to collect money from you, and you have land, va'ata balcho v'katav emine. And a Baal Chov comes to collect it. V'marle zil shkol ar miara. And the fellow who, the debtor, says, go take the land. Amrinan le zil zovin at v'aiti havli. And we tell the guy, you know, you sell your own land and you pay him cash. Right? In other words, we're saying that a Baal Chov can come to the Lova and say, you know, I don't want your land. You sell the land. You give me the cash. Amar le lo. He said, no, Rava never said that. So, emali gufa du uvda hechihave. So tell me exactly what happened when I heard something that sounded like that. Amar le, tolem altav bovid kochavim have. Yeah, there was once a case where there was a fellow, that's not the rule, but there was once a case where there was a fellow who refused to pay cash. He said, go take my land. But the reason was he said, I don't have cash. And why don't I have cash? He lied and he said, I'm doing business with some non-Jew and it's all tied up in the business and I can't get it out from him. So, but it turned out the guy was lying. So what happened? Hu asa shaloka hogan. This fellow did improperly because he's really trying to hide his liquid assets to force this guy to take land. The ficha hasubo shaloka hogan. Therefore, we treat him inappropriately. But if indeed you only have land, you give the land. It's the Baal Chov's job to sell it or do what he wants to with it. Now, this brings us into another area. There is the whole point, the whole issue of paying back a debt is, the paying back a debt besides the financial obligation is also a mitzvah of tzedek, of doing the right thing. Now, you, Rav Papa, say, priyat bal chov mitzvah, paying back a debt is itself a mitzvah. Amarlo nechali diavi mitzvah. So let's say we come to the guy and say, pay back your debt. He said, you know what? I don't want to do a mitzvah. I'll live without the mitzvah. My. So what's the Beit Din's role? Beit Din, of course, can force him on a financial level and that has certain implications. But what about on the mitzvah level? Amarle tanina medvar mamuri mitzvah lo taseh. The Gemara says, when do we say that you get 40 and no more stripes, and it's only as much as your body can take, and we make sure not to really harm you, etc., at least not permanently? That's only when you violated a lo taseh of mitzvah taseh. But if there's an aseh that you are refusing, meaning an anticipated aseh that you're refusing to do, like the, for instance, a person says, I refuse to shake lulav, I refuse to build a sukkah, to live in a sukkah, then makino toachetet senaf sho. Beit Din flogs him until he dies, until hopefully before that he says, okay, I'll do the mitzvah. So according to you who say that paying back a debt is a mitzvah, the same thing should apply. A person can't say, it's up to me and I'm not going to pay it back and you can take me to have levy financial fines on me. No. Now indeed we don't pass him like this. The Rambam does not pass him like this, that we are kofin al mitzvahs. But there is such an opinion that shows up in the Gemara. So now, there's two versions of this discussion. Version number one goes as follows. The question is the same. Rami Chama asked Rav Chista, a guy gives a girl a get and says, his wife a get, and says, this is your get, and it'll kick in 30 days. And she went and put it in a tzidei reshit harabim, which we've dealt with in earlier Gemarot, which is an area which is which is accessible to the public, but they'd have to find their way in. In other words, it's not right out there on the street. It's like in front of a store. And she put it there, and it was there for the whole 30 days. And when 30 days comes, is she divorced or not? Remember, a woman has to have a get in her possession to be divorced. Amarle ain't a magureshet. So Rav Chista, according to this first version, said she's not divorced. Going back to the previous podcast, the Gemara's discussion about Rabbi Tarfon's opinion, Midrav Ushmuel, based on Rav and Shmuel, the Rav Ushmuel Damri Tavai Vahushet Svorim Marachem Mishut Rabim. Remember, Rav and Shmuel said that in the tradition of Bavel was that if we accept the notion of Tfisad Lachar Mita like Rabbi Tarfon, it still has to be something. The property has to be something that's sitting in the public area, Mishut Rabim. And that means that that area is accessible to all, and anybody can make a kinyan there, and it's not considered being held in your private area. So therefore, if the woman's get is in Sidei Reshut Rabim, when 30 days comes, that means it's not in her private property. And Rav Chista added, with Sidei Reshut Rabim, Reshut Rabim Damu. He said, I considered Sidei Reshut Rabim to be like Reshut Rabim, and therefore your case is in the same location that Rav and Shmuel said is accessible to all. So the Talmud said, Adraba, Megureshim Rav Nachman, she should be divorced based on the ruling of Rav Nachman. We had this just a little while ago. De Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Avua, Ha'omel Chaveru, Meshoch Parazu, V'lo Tien Kuniyah Lecha Ad Le'achar Shloshim Yom. If a guy says, buy this cow, do the kinyan on it now, but the kinyan will only kick in 30 days. Kana, Filu Omeret Bahagam. The kinyan works, even if 30 days later the cow is far away, it's standing in a marsh somewhere. So now, my love, Hainu Agam, Hainu Tzidi Reshut Rabim. So now we're assessing this analogy. You're saying, are you going to claim that a marsh and Tzidi Reshut Rabim are the same? That both of those are places where a delayed kinyan can take place? So Rav Chista answered, lo, Agam Lachud, but Tzidi Reshut Rabim Lachud. He said, no, the two are not alike. Now, let's think about it. A marsh is not like Tzidi Reshut Rabim, because a marsh truly is not accessible to the Konet at the time, but it's also not accessible to anybody else, as opposed to Tzidei Reshut Rabim, which is not in anybody's property. It's accessible to all, and therefore you cannot consider it to be a kinyanable location for the individual, or holdable location. That's version one of the discussion. And according to this discussion, Rav Chista negated the get. When challenged with Rav Nachman, he distinguished between an Agam and Tzidei Reshut Rabim. Version 2 is the exact opposite. Ika da'amri amar le'migureshim and Rav Nachman. According to the second version, Rav Chista said that a get, that after 30 days when the get is supposed to kick in, is sitting in Sidei Reshut Rabim, is a valid get, based on Rav Nachman and the 30-day delayed kinyan. But Sidei Reshut Rabim ki'agam damin, and according to that he said Sidei Reshut Rabim is like a marsh. Adarabba, so according to this, the Talmud challenged him and said, Inam Agureshet mi Rav Shmuel. She should not be divorced based on Rav and Shmuel, because Rav and Shmuel said Reshut Rabim is a viable place for anybody to pick it up. My love, Hanush Rabim, Hainu Tzidei Reshut Rabim. Won't we compare Tzidei Reshut Rabim to Reshut Rabim? And his answer was, lo, Reshut Rabim Lachud, Tzidei Reshut Rabim Lachud. So Rav Chista's response in this second version is that Tzidei Reshut Rabim and Reshut Rabim are not the same, and therefore the get is considered to be not in a publicly accessible place, and therefore the gerushin are indeed good. Okay, everybody should have a wonderful day, and we'll pick up Mirtz Hashem on the next Mishnah, on the next podcast, on Daf Pei Vav Amud Bet.